Time now for our weekly artery segment, when we talk to local artists, musicians, and critics about what's exciting them.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear a word they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind.
So a lot of people recognize this song. Everybody's Talkin' was the theme song of the great 1969 movie Midnight Cowboy. But for most people, the popular and talented man behind the hit is largely forgotten. Harry Nilsson rose to fame in the 60s and 70s as a singer-songwriter. He palled around with people like John Lennon. But then his life spiraled downward. He dropped out of sight and died young of heart disease in 1994. He was just 52. But this week, RCA is releasing a 17-disc box set of Harry Nilsson's work, and 2 weeks ago, the first full biography of Nilsson hit the bookstores. Boston Globe arts reporter Jeff Edgers has been writing about Harry Nilsson, and Jeff, nice to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
My guess is not a lot of people today even know who Nilsson was, and yet he has quite a body of work to his credit and quite a story. Tell us something about him.
You know, on one level, he's an incredibly tragic figure. He came of age in the late 60s in this incredible moment of pop history where you could just hang out in a studio and be a master musician and songwriter. And he had this beautiful voice, something like 3.5 octaves. I actually have no idea what that means other than it seemed like he had a lot of range.
Right.
He wrote these wonderful songs, you know, kind of Baroque pop. And he was popular. I mean, he had a number one hit with a cover of Without You, you know, the Badfinger song that he redid. He did Everybody's Talkin', and he wrote the song One, you know, One is the Loneliest Number, well, later covered by Three Dog Night.
Well, let's hear One, because this is a song that's going to jog a lot of people's memories who might not know who Harry Nilsson is.
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one.
So Jeff, he's got quite a sad story too, but also a sort of, he sort of defines meteoric rise, right? I mean, he didn't finish high school. How did he get into this business?
Well, it's not just that Harry didn't finish high school. I mean, he was carted all over the country with his alcoholic mother. His father abandoned him. And, you know, Harry, like, at one point, he, like, held up a liquor store to pay off one of his mom's debts. So it wasn't just, you know, a little bit tough. It was, like, you know, dirt poor crime, you know, it's amazing he made it out of there, but he did because he was so talented and so incredible. And, you know, when we talk about tragic and fall and whatever, I read this book that just came out about Harry. It's a really great book written by this guy, Alan Shipton. And, you know what, I'm kind of left thinking maybe it wasn't so tragic. I mean, He lived an incredible 52 years. He was basically, like, doing everything he wanted to do. He was an alcoholic. He obviously had a drug problem, and his health really caught up with him, but he had a lot of fun.
Well, let's listen to another one of his songs. So here's his song, 1941, which is about his father leaving him when he was very young.
Well, in 1941, a happy father had a son. And by 1944, the father walks right out the door. And in 45, the mom and son were still alive. But who could tell in 46 if the two were to survive?
Well, that's a really touching song. Jeff, how much did his personal story influence his music?
Well, his personal story was central to his music, whether it was in, you know, taking the actual literal experience he had of being abandoned, or whether it was just allowing what was going on in his life to soak into his music.
But as you listen to other music on this box set, which spans Nilsson's songs with RCA from, what, 1967 to 1977, so a full decade of music, what struck you most about this music?
What's surprising to me is how good the later part of the music is. I mean, we all know, you know, if we're music fans, that the guy was a master, that his voice was incredible early on. But there's this period where he's hanging out with John Lennon in about 1973, 74, where he blows out his voice, you know, from the partying, from the crazy singing. You know, actually, he told one of his friends there was blood on the microphone at one of the sessions. Well, what's amazing to me listening to this box is how quickly he recovered. And he didn't have that boyish voice from the early music, but he could still reach the high notes, and he still wrote beautiful songs. They just weren't as popular.
Mm. Well, speaking of that session with John Lennon, here he is singing the great song Many Rivers to Cross with John Lennon. I love that song, Jeff. So that's the song that caused him to blow out his voice?
Well, these sessions, I mean, there are songs on that record called Pussycats. There are songs where he's just croaking through them. And I don't know if that's by, you know, affectation. From what I've read, he just couldn't hit those notes, and he really was in physical pain.
Mm. So, Jeff, immensely talented guy. Why did Harry Nilsson fade into obscurity so suddenly, so completely?
Well, you can't know for sure, but, you know, the reality is he came up in a time where it was useful to be a live musician. Harry never played a live concert, never. And, you know, in the 80s, when he didn't produce anything that we heard, no studio records, you know, it wasn't like now where if you're Van Dyke Parks or Randy Newman, you know, you have like this small audience that's going to always follow you. Back in the 80s, it was still that model of like make us hits, you know, be Bon Jovi. And Harry was no Bon Jovi. If he was alive today, I bet you he'd be making music and we'd be hearing it.
Speaking of today, why all this interest in Harry Nilsson now? We mentioned this new box set of 17 CDs, this biography that came out recently. Why this interest now?
The question is, why has it taken so long almost? Mm. I mean, the short answer for why now is he's got his longtime friend and law and former attorney Lee Blackman, who's the executive of his estate, has been pushing and pushing and pushing. So he got this documentary made. He actually basically commissioned Shipton to write this book and gave him access to everyone that Harry dealt with. And, you know, he worked with RCA to get these albums released in such a pristine and beautiful fashion. So, you know, in one part, it's just one guy. On the other hand, it's like, what took so long?
Well, let's go out with one more song from Harry Nilsson. This is Good Old Desk, which I understand is one of your favorite Nilsson songs. Tell us why.
Well, I love this song because it's about a desk and I'm a writer. I mean, how much more romance can you have, right?
Such a comfort to know it's got no place to go.
Jeff Edgers is an arts reporter for the Boston Globe. His piece about Harry Nilsson will be in this Sunday's Boston Globe. Jeff, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
My old desk never needs a rest, and I've never once heard it cry.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Carrie Goldberg.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.
What do I see but a picture of me working?